Hello and good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, from time to time, someone is heard to say that, well, in the churches of Christ, there's no appeal to emotions. At best, this is a misconception, and it certainly does not reflect the truth of the matter. Those who say that are trying to equate appealing to emotions with an effort to stir up emotionalism. And friends, there's a vast difference between emotions and emotionalism. Emotion is a strong feeling. It can be a feeling of love, of hate, of joy, of grief, of pleasure, of anger, fear. A number of words can describe a strong feeling that certainly is emotion. But on the other hand, emotionalism is a state of mind in which one's indulgence or display of emotions allows feelings to dictate their actions without exercising control of reason. You know, we appeal to emotions in the Church of Christ, but we do not appeal to emotionalism. In matters that are pertaining to the salvation of our souls, no effort should be made to stir up emotionalism. You know, Paul wrote over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." You see, to persuade men suggests leading men to will or to act in a desired way by appealing to reason. God wants us to use reason to control our actions. It's in Luke chapter 14 and verse 28 that Jesus said, "Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost?" See, men need to count the cost of serving Satan as opposed to the cost of building a life of faith upon Jesus Christ. A life of faith in Christ is not a health and a wealth religion. We hear that so often on radio, particularly on television. It cost Stephen and James, you recall, their lives. It's in Acts chapter 7 that we read these words in the latter part of the chapter at verse 57. "Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." What had Stephen done? He had simply preached the truth of the gospel. We find that he lost his life for doing that. We see a similar instance later on in the book of Acts, where that in Acts chapter 12, here is James. His life is taken. He says, "Now about the time that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." And that was the occasion where he saw that it pleased the Jews, and he proceeded to seize Peter. But, of course, we know that Peter was able to miraculously escape. But the point is, a life of faith in Christ is not a life of health and wealth. Here are men that lost their lives. It cost Paul his earthly possessions. Notice when he wrote the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 2, notice what he says there at verse 8. He says, I'm sorry, not Philippians 2, it's Philippians 3 and verse 8. I will get it right here in a moment. He said, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Faith in Jesus assures us of neither health nor wealth. Some men of great faith have suffered severe physical afflictions. Others have endured extreme poverty. Faith in Jesus looks to the end of physical life in the hope of eternal life. Remember the statement in the book of Romans? In Romans chapter 2, there at verse 7, he says, eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So it is then that our hope of eternal life, in which one is able to discard the physical and share all of the wealth of heaven. So the proper appeal is both to emotion and to intellect. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10 shows that the reason people are lost is because, quote, they do not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. So we must urge people to exercise the emotion of love. However, we must not appeal only for people to love the idea of baby Jesus or a loving Jesus and a dying Jesus. We also must appeal for people to accept both the facts of the life of Jesus and the necessity of obeying the teaching of Jesus. Salvation was made available not only by the sinless life of Jesus, but also by his sacrificial death, which made available to us the forgiveness of sin. By his shed blood, Jesus became a propitiation, verse 25, for our sins. Romans 6 and verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we know from Romans 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death. See, justice demands death for sin. But, as we read in Romans 5 and verse 8, God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When Christ died for our sins, he appeased the demand of justice. And that's the way in which he became a propitiation for our sins. When Jesus prayed to the Father for his apostles in John chapter 17. He prayed in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. To receive a love for the truth is to receive a love for the word of God. To receive a love for the word of God is to be willing to obey the word of God, no matter what it requires. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, the Father who sent me gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak, and I know his commandment is everlasting life. He also said in Matthew 7 and verse 24, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. So, doing what Jesus said goes beyond being worked up into a temporary emotional state in which one allows his feelings to dictate his actions. See, it's much more than acting under the influence of emotionalism. So we are expected to exercise self-control. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, we find in verse 22 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So this shows that those who think that a display of emotionalism demonstrates more spirituality than demonstrated by the controlling of one's emotion are mistaken. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, and the same cannot be said for the emotionalism which allows one's feelings to dictate his actions. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 2, to those who have obtained like precious faith, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We need to appeal to a person's emotions and reason in order to persuade them to hear and to do what Jesus has said. So it's not true that we in the churches of Christ have no appeal to emotion. We have to understand and appreciate the love of God. We have to love the fact that through His grace, He has provided us the means of salvation, that we can again come into fellowship with Him, that we can come into the light. But friends, all of that has to be based upon God's Word. Come, let us reason together, the prophet said. And therefore, do away with, well, I know I'm saved because of the way I feel. Friends, let's don't stake our soul's eternal destiny upon the way we feel. Feelings can be deceiving. And we have many, many examples in the scriptures of those who thought something was a certain way, but it was not. Just because we think doesn't make it so. It has to be according to what God's Word says. Emotions, yes, but also reason from what the Scriptures teach. We see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.